Let's stay there. Let's stay there. Let's stay. Oh, Lord. Let's stay there. Oh, God. Stay right there. Wow. Before I start, so I got a couple visions yesterday, and I asked permission from you, sir. Can you get from the seat that you're sitting? Move away from the seat that you're sitting. Maybe you sit to another seat. I'm just doing a demonstration. Get up from where you are sitting. Move away from the spot that caused you to be complacent. Stop being too comfortable in where you are, in the situation that you are right now. Move away. So, Shelly, if you're sitting in that seat, you need to sit in that one. You know, just move from the spot that you were. So, the point that I'm making is you are not comfortable right now because you're used to the spot. That spot, that comfortable spot. You're so used to it. So the vision I got was you got us moving away from the spot that we sit. And God was just demonstrating to me that's how we are, complacent. Praise the Lord. You can use that whichever way you will. But stay there. Stay right there. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. And D, you have a picture up there of me. Well, let me pray. So I appreciate that. So my name is Shanique Edwards, and I am a child of God. So let me introduce myself. Anyway, let's bow our heads. Glory to God. I thank you, Jesus. I pray that your words will become life. Let it pierce our hearts, God. Let it pierce our hearts. Speak through us, Holy Spirit. Let prophecy come through the words. Let dry bones live today. Whatever is said today, God, I pray that bodies will be healed. That you will divert every plan that is not of you. I pray that you will rearrange whatever we thought that is planned, that is your plan. I pray that you will give us the strength, that glory strength, God, so we can endure the unendurable. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I didn't have a theme or a topic. I didn't have one until yesterday when I told Pastor. So I woke up and God said, "Aren't you glad your plans didn't work?" And I was like, "That's not funny. You know, my plans didn't work." She's saying, "Aren't you glad?" I'm like, "Not really." But, you know, there's a point to it. He's doing it for a purpose. So I want to speak of a couple months ago. It's a year now. I don't know if I still have it, but I'm still paying for it, so I may have it. So I have an online business. Can you all hear me? Okay. I have an online business, and it's been a year. So I allow this online business to consume me so much that whenever I start to have a conversation, the first thing will roll off my tongue. Hey, you know I have. So everything I say is always about my business. Raquel, you know what I'm talking about. My mom knows what I'm talking about. You know, little people in here know. But everything I say, it's all about my business. But with that business, I had 3 jobs too. Because I was a manager at Five Below, a manager at Bed Bath & Beyond, and I was working here. So I had 3 jobs plus that online business. Because my plan was, My plan was to not be in the state that I was in. Coming from another country, you know, it's not easy where I was. But, I mean, we were grateful for what we had. But my plan was, oh, I'm coming to America to live the dream, right? I want you guys to get this clear and listen, because there's a point to it. God said there's a point to it. So me having all those jobs, my plan was to make sure that my kids have never won, and I've been through a whole lot of broken relationships, and I decided I'm going to be independent. I heard Pastor Ross and Kristen talk about it. I'm like, why are you doing it in my head? But that's how the Holy Spirit works. You know, the Holy Spirit works. Because we never communicate. Kristen and I never communicate. And for God to let everything just orchestrate it the way they did, you know, I'm like, God, you're amazing. But this business and these three jobs were my way out. My way out. So my kids don't suffer. So my kids have everything they wanted. You know, so I decided I'm going to work hard until one day, one night, I think it was after 11, I was still at work. And I got a text message from my daughter said, Mommy, are you coming to get us? Feels like I don't know you anymore. But God used that girl to crush my crush me so much that I like, oh my goodness, I'm doing this for them. But that was my plan. You know, that was my plan. God did not authorize that plan. Even though I thought, you know, I thought, okay, I'm doing this. God knows, you know, this is a good thing. It's not like I'm doing something bad out there. I'm working. I'm independent. And I always told Pastor Mike, I do it because I want to. I do it because I can. That's just me. That's just self. You know, and I realized that I did this, all these jobs were me. It was just about me, all about me. You know, I wanted to make sure I'm independent, make sure my bills are paid on time, make sure I can do what I want, when I want, how. That was just my plan, you know. Anyway, turn your Bibles to John 11, please, 14 and 15. Stay there. The reason why I keep telling you to stay there, stay in that spirit. Because we don't know what God's going to do in that position that you're in. It's not comfortable where you are right now, but stay there. And I'm going to read John 11, 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there. For your sake. When God showed me that, I'm like, what that means, for your sake, you weren't there. So that means all my plans, you weren't even there. You know, all the time. All the time I thought, you know, this was God. Okay. All the time I thought this was God. Because me, you know, I'll go into Pastor Jerry's office, wait until she get there to say, you know, I've done this. And she was like, not even saying nothing. So I thought, okay, she said, meaning that, oh, that means God says, okay, he authorized it. He put that stamp on it, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. But God said, and I'm glad for your sake. So even though this story is about Lazarus, God loved Lazarus so much. You know, his best friend, I think. They were close, yeah. But when God heard the word, hey, God, your friend is sick. He's dying. God didn't flinch. He was like nonchalant. Okay, don't care. Because he had a point to prove. He was going to prove something to his disciples. Because they had little faith. Even though they saw him, the blind man see because of Jesus. The lame walk because of Jesus. People start hearing because of Jesus. They saw that. But he wants to prove something. Let's go on. To the intent you may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. When he went, before I go all the way over there, he was on the other side of Jordan, was it? Was it Jordan? Yeah. When he heard, I read the story, so I kind of know. He was on the other side when he heard, right? And he stayed an extra 2 days. So here I am, like, okay, God, why my business not flourishing the way I want? He don't even care. I'm like, God, you don't even care. You know, I got bills to pay. My kids, I got to buy food. I don't want to live off my mom. You know, you got that independence. You want to be independent. You know, I don't want to live off my mother. God didn't care. He stayed an extra 2 days, even when the situation is dead and rotten. I'm like, come on, God. I'm dead right now. Why you not here? You know, I thought we were close. I thought you were my best friend. Why you not here? But there's a point. So God is my healer. He healed my heart. Okay, so he's saying, okay, I'm going to show you something different besides healing. And I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. I didn't want to miss it. When he said to me, I healed, I restored, but you have never experienced my resurrection. So Sunday when we were sitting in here, when the City of God and Crystal Lynn was ministering, and I sat in that seat, and Pastor Mike and I were sitting there, and I held my head up, and I saw the word resurrection right here. And I do like this. I didn't tell him, hey, did you see that? But that's what I had in my head. I saw the word so clearly, resurrection. And then Wednesday, Pastor talked about resurrection. So I'm saying, okay, God, this is what you want. My intentions were to come up, to go home. When Pastor asked me to minister, that's what you call it, ministering? I don't do that. I talk about my life. Pastor asked me to talk about my life because that's what I do with my kids. So, okay, I'm not used to adults. My domain is with my 4-year-olds and my 5-year-olds. Because I know when I say something, and the crazy part about it, God gave me a gift that if you bring your 3-year-old to me tomorrow, I will know what's wrong with them and how to get them to read and write ready. You guys see that? You guys see that? Because that's the gift that God placed. And every time when I go in the classroom, I said, okay, God, they're going to come in here, learn something new each day. So that's why I have this big writing, learn something new. Because God said, you're not going to come in here and write a plan. You're going to come in here and teach them what I want you to you to teach them. Not go home and go on Google or what you learned in college. God said, you're not going to write no plan, even though I have to write a plan because I want to be an example for the other teachers because they will slack up and not write a plan. And then I have to say, what about the plan? You know, I have to write a lesson plan because the teacher is prepared. You should come in here prepared with your tools ready to teach the children, right? That's what teachers do. But I'm telling you, you see, when you have the Holy Spirit, that's your teacher. So even though I do not have a plan per se, objective, procedure, and all that, you know, you put on a lesson plan, God said, okay, Shanique, teach them that. But remember, pray over them every day. Pray over them every day, touch them, and pray for them. Because he demonstrates, touch them. And pray over them. And that's, so I thought, you know, coming in here, it would be my domain, and it feels different. Even though you were receptive of what I'm saying, I'm praying that you get what I'm saying. You know, I'm going to go back to this because it's so heavy on my heart. I have to read that part again over where it says, "And I am glad for your sake that I was not there." So I'm saying, even though your plans, even though, okay, you set up, you orchestrated your own life. You say, okay, I'm going to finish high school. I'm going to go to the best Ivy League college there is. And I'm going to get the highest paying job there is, right? That's what we, in for real, even for our children, that's what we want for them, right? Oh, because I'm like, oh, it's just me. But that's what we want for them, and that's what we wanted for ourselves. But here comes this man. I want you to put that picture up, D, because he showed me this. That was me, right? Because that's what I thought, you know, me having my business, that's how it's going to look, flourish with all them nice roses. So here I go with that roses again. Wow. Well, pretend it's rose. Pretend, right? Just pretend it's a rose. Come on. Think like a four-year-old. Here, is, I don't know if it's tulips or rose or marigolds or bougainvillea. Just pretend that these are roses. Here it goes. This is how I wanted my business to flourish. The same way these pretend roses, you know, look like it's well taken care of, it's well fertilized and stuff. And God said, you're not even there. You're not even that. No, I thought I was. But he diverted my plans. He diverted my plans so much. I remember a couple months ago, he used to say, don't wear that, wear this. Don't wear that color, wear that color. I remember I testified about God changing my whole perspective of how I see things. And I had no self-esteem at one point. Because now I wanted to be, I wanted to get, I want this to be made, man-made. So I started to fertilize my own plan, you know. But it was still hollow inside because I didn't have a foundation. And here comes the resurrection starting to teach me what it really means to die of self. And then I realized all these petals start falling off. And I said, but God, when are you going to let something start happening for me? You know, I'm somebody too. I've been through a whole lot. Come on, man. Just do something for me now. So here is the resurrection. He's allowing us to experience some dead situation, some dry circumstances, to reveal his resurrection power. God has the authority to manipulate our lives so we can get his glory. God's plans are not our plans. And he will divert our plans to fulfill his purpose in us. He has a greater plan in store for us. One thing too, you put it up, that's me, people. Even when you use your natural water and water, it's still going to look like that if you don't have a right foundation. Let us stop pretending as if we got everything all together. Stop pretending that everything is okay. I wish you guys could see what I'm seeing. Because there's a hunger in all of us, and it's trying to burst out. Pastor Love said something to me the other day. You know, the reason why you're feeling all those pains It's because there's something inside of you need to come out. And I went home. I said, God, all these visions, what are they for? What are you trying to say? So God orchestrated our life, even though we thought, you know, the plans that we have for ourselves, that's not the plan that God wants for us. Pastor, that's not the plan God wants for us. A couple weeks ago, I was going through a difficulty. See, I don't minister, I talk about my life. I was going through a difficulty. And I said, I need another job. I said it out loud. And the devil heard me. So let's backtrack. God sent me here to work with these kids. He told me to ask Miss Maddie. No, he told me to tell Miss Maddie I'm coming. He didn't say, ask her. Yeah, he said, tell her you're coming. And when I came, I said stuff to her. She didn't say nothing to me. I talked to her. And I start working. It wasn't a job. Because I can't say I got the job. And then you got to be careful what you say. So a couple weeks ago, I said I need another job because I can't afford. And God gave me a vision. And he spoke. It was so clearly, just as I'm speaking to you, he said, don't you ever say that. You need another job. Because you didn't come here to work. You come here to serve that man right there. And the only reason why you're getting paid is because you have to sustain yourself. But there's going to come a time I'm going to put you in a situation where you're not even taking any money. I had to repent. I cried. And I don't cry. I don't got no tears. He may say no, but don't be discouraged. His no is not to discourage us. His no is to elevate us. So see, we blame the devil for all the obstacles that came in our life. God held us back for his purpose. So we are holding on to what we think is our life's plan. But we have no control. God is in control. Stop holding on. Let go. And watch God move. Stop giving that devil credit. Because he's just laughing like, yeah, that's me. You know, I'll do this. When he didn't have nothing to do with it. God allowed it to happen. To show you his purpose. There is a greater opportunity that we don't know about yet. I'm like, okay. So I'm reading this because that's what he keeps telling me. And I'm like, okay, there is a greater opportunity that we don't know about yet. And then I looked at John. And he said, to the intent you may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. He's saying there, okay, I'm going to prove to you why I'm not just a healer and not just a mediocre person, though. Come on, I'm going to prove to you. So when he said, let us go unto him, Jesus went with Martha and Mary. And you know the story. Jesus went. And he called Lazarus by his name. But a whole lot of people were like, why is he here? He's dead already. You know, why is he here? The situation is dead. What are you trying to do, God? How are you going to resurrect this? Ma, how are you? He's like, okay, I'm going to give you all. I'm going to put a whole lot of pain in your body. People are going to be like, why is she still walking in here? Why don't go home and lay down? But God's glory. I told you when I see glory on you. Because God wants not to prove just to you, but to everybody who is watching who the resurrection is. So when you say you saw yourself with that pen, that oxygen tank or pen or whatever they call it, on the wall, that is the resurrection on the wall. Come on, we got to believe. And the only way that's going to go up there if it's we believe there's a resurrection. But I'll believe for you, and I know you believe too. So if you and I are together believing, so all these sickness that I can't even say the devil, because he'll say, yes, that's me. All the sickness that come upon us, God is allowing it to happen for his glory. So he can prove his resurrection power in us. But first you got to know what the resurrection power is. I remember Wednesday when Pastor said, We stop believing. We need to go back to the resurrection. And I said, Jesus, Holy Ghost. When I saw the word resurrection, he's telling me something. He's saying, come on, you need to go back to the resurrection. Because we are so used to the familiar state. That's why. Oh, okay. So that's why God said, move from the chair. Okay, so we are so familiar with, you know, the same old state that we become so complacent that now we start living there. What about the resurrection? So all those grave clothes that you're wearing from that state that you were in. Today God is saying, I'm removing it if you believe the resurrection. Stop walking into your sickness and say, oh, I'm sick, and call it yours. Stop calling it yours. You're going to stay in that state because it's familiar to you. Oh, I have arthritis. My arthritis, they start to put ownership on their sickness. Come on, people. Now that you know all these teachings that my dad given, you know, all these teachings, why are we still not getting it? Why are we still not getting it? Why are we putting ownership onto the state that we're in? I believe if we say, okay, I'm here, but this is not where God wants me to be. And I believe if we say, okay, I'm here, this is not where God wants me to be, and I'm not going to stay there. This is not the plan that God has for me. So my favorite Bible verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. And I took the word prosper out. What else? So I know the plans I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. So I took those encouraging words out. But have you ever read Jeremiah 29:10? What it said? The only way I'm going to prosper you, you have to suffer how many years? Pastor, this morning, I never read Jeremiah 29:10 before. I took my favorite chapter, verse, and I ran with it all the time. That's what I use. And I say, okay, God, you said, you know, the plans that you have for me is to prosper me and to make me flourish. So I'm going to take that out. But we don't want to go through nothing to get it. And that's what Jeremiah 29:10 says this morning. So I didn't sleep. And I still look beautiful. I didn't sleep last night. Because he was dealing with me on a different level. I didn't get nothing yesterday until he said to me, aren't you glad that your plan didn't work? I'm like, so I'm going to take that and what I'm going to say? Nothing. Until last night when I was laying there, I'm like, I want to sleep, but I could not sleep. Because even though the sleep was in my eyes, he kept waking me up. I'm like, come on, I got to get some rest. I don't know how you talk to God, but that's my conversation. You know, that's how I talk to him. Don't sleep yet. Write this down. And I told you, when I read Jeremiah 29:10 this morning, can you put it up there, please? Sorry I didn't tell you about it, but, you know, that's how the Holy Spirit do you, manipulate your life, you know. Because it's even not about me. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God. But yet still we think that I woke myself up. I'm going to go back to sleep and wake up whenever I want to. I'm so independent, I even run my own life. But I took 29:11, and I even have a picture on my wall with that verse. So, Pastor, I have that picture on my wall. I have an art with "For I know the plans I have for you." And I used to have like a vision board, you know, and like my business team on that vision board with how many people is under me because I'm, you know. And I'm like, you know, but you know what God did? I'm like, where are these people? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I went online and I looked at my business. I'm like, oh, it's still there. But why am I not in it? It don't consume me no more. That's not the first thing I thought of when I wake up in the morning anymore. Thank you, Dee. 70 years. For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you then. When you do your 70 years, when you go through your trial and your tribulation, 70 years, oh Jesus, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. 70 years. I'm not even 70. Can you imagine? I'm like, I would give up so long ago. But I took the second verse. Because that's what we do. We take our part and think, okay, I'm going to take just this part. Because only this part applied to me. So I'm going to take this part without even reading the whole thing. What about the trial that we have to go through first? We want everything man-made. We want everything artificial. I remember I heard this story, and I think I shared it with you, Pastor. It was, I think they were having what they call it? Like now it's fall, and you guys have harvest. But they have this event. What do you call it? Come on, man. Fall festival. And this man, he would have the biggest pumpkins, and he'll enter it into the competition that they normally have. But he'll put so much fertilizer into it so it grew big. So when they brought, because he won anyway, because it was so big. I think it weighs over 1,000 ton or something like that. But when they opened the pumpkin, it was hollow. You know why? Because he used that man-made fertilizer in it. You know, that man-made fertilizer that I can do whatever I want, fertilizer kind of way, without even having the right foundation, which is the resurrection. So that's why it's hollow inside. That's why most of us, me, sometimes feel hollow because I allow myself. Because sometimes, for real, you let self in the way. You allow yourself to go, you know, okay, I'm going to go out and do this by myself. I'm going to go buy a car because something's wrong with my tires. I'm going to do it without even having God authorize it. We come up with all these plans on our own without even saying, God, is this what you want? Because, yes, he gave us free will, but is that what God wants? You know, but then again, what I realized, too, there's still grace, you know. He will let us go through it, but he'll have something to sustain us. You know, okay, now you do what you want to do. And it didn't work out the way you wanted it to work. So who are you going to turn to now? Me, right? Mm-hmm. So come on, come do the right thing. Come do the right thing. Let me work on you. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. Come get this firm foundation. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you get what I said? Oh, okay. I'm just going to read this last part. But God anticipated your failure, and he already made provision. Right? He's talking to me, and I'm like, okay, God. He let me fail first. 70 years, eh? My favorite scripture is, for I know the plans I have for you. And I always think, what God now is saying, I know you're going to fail, but go ahead. I'm still going to have provision for you. What a God, eh? What a God we serve. Do you put me up there, please? That's not me no more. No, the rose, the other rose. Yeah. I got to see myself that way. We got to see ourselves that way. That's what God used. He don't use when you're already flourishing, you feel you're okay. That's what he uses. That's where he do all the miracles, man. That's where, you know, signs and wonders take place right here. When I'm broken, when I'm empty, when I feel like, oh, there's nothing left. When I'm like, okay, I'm dead. When all the grave clothes is on me, and when all hope is lost and don't got no money. That's when he's like, okay. That's where you see the glory. So now you're sick. That's you. That's me. But God is getting the glory through your experiences, through the situation. That's where God gets the glory. And that's what the ultimate sacrifice is. So God can get the glory. Don't you believe? I believe. I'm not going to say nothing else. Stay there. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. So hold your resurrection state. So our minds did a little flip-flop, didn't it? Didn't it? Jeremiah 29:11. We love that. We left something out. It's pretty critical what we left out. So I really like what Shanique did. I don't minister. I tell you about my life because we have too many sermons and no life experiences. And we come away with a false idea of prosperity that's got to all be redefined. And I like what she said at the end. That's got to be certain. Until you see yourself with grave clothes, God can't move in the resurrection for you. We've been trained to see ourselves a certain way. And it's not God's way. It actually gets in his way. God will never budge off the state of resurrection. He'll never budge off of it. Because that's the new creation. That's the new order. And he'll never budge. So you can be as successful in the old creation as much as you want. And it can look like those tulips and whatever. But it's not him. He'll let you fail for 70 years, I'm telling you. And then Kristen Davis says, he doesn't have any problem with letting you do it for 70 years. He won't have any problem at all. He will never budge off anything but resurrection. He will never budge. I don't care how many church sermons you have. I don't care how many conferences. I don't care how many retreats. I don't care what's going on and you have a good time. He will never, if it's not resurrection, it doesn't move him. And resurrection only comes when he reveals your plans to you that they were only you. See, a lot of people won't even confess that, won't even admit that. That was my plan. That was my plan. That was my plan. See, we put God's name on it, see, and tie prosperity to it. And he still got his arms crossed. When you gonna wake up? You know, This house here has a culture, a spiritual culture that's being developed. Okay? It's a resurrection culture. And so, until he can move us out of the natural into the resurrection, he can't get much done. So here, my point here is, here he brings... this new culture here, and so you have to sort of sit under it and start to understand it, and you're going to start dispensing with your own thoughts. In other words, God told Shanique, this is where you need to be at this Children's Academy. Now, why? Because the culture starts with the children. So we can hire XYZ person to do the job, but when are we going to find somebody with a revelation of resurrection to get in Kinsley while she's sub 1 year old, so that they don't have to relearn. She don't have to quote, for instance, Jeremiah 29:11 until she's 50 and left 10 out. We don't know the ways of God. We're still functioning on a lower order of life. You can do it for 10 generations and God's still not going to change his mind. No, so I'm looking for the 11th generation that will finally see that the blessing is in the dead rose. Then you stop trying to improve yourself and let him work a miracle. So what am I talking about, the culture? Okay, in his divine wisdom, Shelley, he brings somebody in who are going to start teaching. I know about lesson plans. I know the value of them. But I got a lesson plan from heaven in the resurrection that's going to last for eternity versus a lesson plan that will last 70 years. And when they die, they still will be in the old order. See, flip our minds, you know. See, when you get messages like this, all you want to do is sit in the corner and say, I don't know a thing. I know nothing. I've been to church, I've been to school, I've been whatever, but I don't know anything. Because resurrection says, you don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. You don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, right? Pastor Ross said it. My natural mind says, Outer Banks is out. God said, don't utter a word about it. Because you don't know what I'm going to do. I was telling Shelley this morning. See, God's flipping your mind over to heaven. It was a miracle. He's flipping him. I know the plans that I have for you, but they have to do with heaven and resurrection. We read that scripture and we put that scripture with our own plans. And God said, no, that's not it. That's not it. See, then it takes them 70 years to get that to you, that's not it. You got it on your refrigerator. You got people around it. You got all kinds of things going on. But you know what the Holy Spirit says when he's going to convict you? Not necessarily a bad sin, but a good sin. The sin of having your own plan.
That's because, of course, when we see the word prosperity, we think something. We think money. We think houses, cars. The word in Hebrew in the Old Testament is shalom. It's peace. It's not money.
And peace has to do with you, not things. That's why he can say, you're going to work for no money. It's not going to bother him. It's not the. See, we think prosperity, money and things, material, external. God says resurrection. Thank you for my theme song, Shell. Can y'all go across? Hey, Asia. Can y'all go across to the other side? Can we go? Can we allow God to cross us over? Ron said, shalom, peace. Remember it says in Romans, they all gone astray. Their mouths are like open graves. They don't know the way of peace. As it said in as soon as you get in the resurrection, you got peace like a river. I don't care if you broke. Because now money is inconsequential. Here's Shelley flipping over out of the natural into the spirit. come with me. All the fire does is make me better. We're made for fire. Isn't that what the lady said? Why? Because it just makes us higher in the resurrection. Okay, so his Taba. I think I spoke something. His Taba ascending. One day $50, the next day $50,000, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Satan will take the external circumstances and try to make that define you. Deliverance is, it doesn't matter what state I'm in as long as I'm in the state of the resurrection. It doesn't matter what natural state I'm in as long as I'm in the resurrection. So it's all on the inside. It's all on the inside. So his Taba giving you a message, or she doesn't give messages. She's giving her life testimony, right? You know, no ministry. She's giving. I saw myself in the kingdom. I saw myself in the kingdom. And my grave clothes came off. Well, my grave clothes were off. What were your grave clothes? Trust in money. Trust in what people thought about me. Trust in a vision that was on my own that I learned from somebody else. Trust in my own natural desires to be rich and successful. That was my grave clothes. The grave clothes. So Satan, you know what Satan, he's going to try to match you up with a person that's successful. And say, be like me. All you're doing is putting them grave clothes on. Can you see the culture? You know, here's God saying, poverty has to take on a different word definition for you. Poverty has to take on a different definition for you. See? Because remember he said in the Beatitudes, you know, the divine functions of the Spirit in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. When you become so poor in what your own definition of prosperity is, when you become so poor, God said, now I can get the grave clothes off of you. It's a flip. B, we flip in the script. Shanique's right. Now the devil can just whisper stuff to us. That was me, and God's like, no, I allowed it all. I allowed it all. But when you start becoming rich, you know, here's what the definition of riches is. You heard it this morning. You heard it this morning. Being rich is, I can't go to the Outer Banks because of this, this, and this. Being rich is saying, I'm going to shut up and become poor and let God work a miracle. You're rich on the inside. See? Here's what riches is. I don't need any money to minister to these little ones. The money ain't the matter. It's Kinesos walking the resurrection in the eternal kingdom of God. What's more important, 25 an hour or to see a 3 or 4 year old grasp the kingdom and the throne of God? What's more important in God's mind? Who's prosperous? Who's highly favored? God, Shelly, God, we want a better resurrection. We want a better resurrection. We don't want a better life here. We want a better resurrection. What are we feeding into? What have we fed into? What have we fed into? We've been eating poison. We've been eating poison. And putting a graduation cap on it. Here's God and His mercy. I'm just waiting for you. Because listen, a lot of people are not going to sit in here and listen to this. She done gone mad. But here's the mercy of God. Catching you at 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60. Wait a minute. Did you read Jeremiah 29:10? Can you see the grave clothes still on you? You know, we read John 11 about the grave clothes. We figure that's somebody else. No, it's you and me. God, take them off. How much of the world have I eaten? A lot. That's why it takes so long to get it off. We ate a lot. All of us have so much room for repentance. God, take it off. Whatever it takes for me to see it, let me see it. So I can walk in the power of the resurrection. You know, John 11 is for you and me. It wasn't just for the Pharisees or whatever, or Mary and Martha. It's for you and me. Tama, I don't want it anymore. How come I keep seeing you shoot up out the grave? I ain't seeing Tyler shoot up out the grave. See? Because shooting up out the grave can't be a Bible story. It's got to be past the glow. Shooting up out the grave is not something just academic. It's got to be Kingsley. It's got to be Izzy. It's got to be Ed. It's got to be you. It's got to be you. He's sharing God. Miracle time. Don't let me lounge in the grave any longer. Let me lounge down there. Let some divine instincts kick in. Whatever brokenness that it takes, whatever death that it takes, you know, here's what I'm praying. And you get home, and you're gonna say, "Oh my God, I've been in that graveyard for 10 years, and I didn't even know it." The real people that make an impact on our society are people who can see their graveyards in their past, and then God shot them out of them. And then they start making an impact on other people without even trying. Just being around them. Because once we start, you hear what Shanique said? Resurrection was back here. The word resurrection was, you know, that's a different state. You have something else? Okay, so here's where we are. Here's where we are today. We're going to pray for Derek Cannon. God, show him the power of your resurrection. We're going to pray for Aaliyah. Show her the power of your resurrection. Pray for Valisa. Show her, God, the power of your resurrection. She might need this, that, and the other. He might need this. But you know what he or she needs most? More than anything. You see, I only got one shoe. All I got is a right shoe. I need a left one. God, show, be the power of your resurrection. Forget about the shoe. Forget about the shoe. God, where's your resurrection? Where's real life? Where's real life? Where's real life? Jesus, I am the resurrection and what? The life. Generation after generation is past the minds of men. They kept skipping it. They kept skipping it. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, God kept trying to show them stuff. It kept skipping them. Went right across their mind's eye. Then you see the resurrection? Then you see the possibility of the resurrection? It's kept skipping. Kept skipping. And then God said, bam! One person out of 5,000. Make the angels dance. I'm sorry. Make the angels dance. One person out of 5,000, right? Even if he's born in a manger, in a stable with funk all around, at least one sword. Now, why them angels start singing? There's the resurrection and the life. The old order is gone. The old order has passed away. There's the resurrection and the life right there. He started it right there in that stable. 500 years later, maybe one more or 20 more. Whole world still on the old stuff. Then came 2000 and whatever. So Rob, stay.
Pastor gave me a word a while back. And we were talking about it in his office this morning. And the word was, Shelley, you know, if you get to this level and then you get through that level to the next level and to the next level, at some point you're going to get to God. You're going to get to God. So with the first level and the second level and the third level, we're getting closer and closer, but we haven't got to God yet. Because the stuff got to burn off as we get to God. It has to burn off. The flesh has to burn off. And around that time when he gave me that word, I started praying. I said, God, I don't want to ever walk in fear of money again, ever. I said, and I don't ever want to have the spirit of desperation. Because I have been desperate. My family has been desperate. And those are things that will keep you on this earth, keep you on this ground. The fear of desperation and the fear of money. Instead of walking in the resurrection, when you're going home from work and the Lord said, no, don't go that way. And you're obeying, you're hearing him. And he said, don't go that way. Go this way this time. Turn right. I want you to go this way. And you go around a corner and somebody got a for sale sign on a car in their yard. And you say, how much you want for the car? And they say, you can have it. You know, that's God. That's the resurrection. That's not needing the money. That's the resurrection power of God. Taking off the fear. That fear can be grave clothes. That desperation can be grave clothes. He's trying to give us everything new so that we can be lifted from this earth and walk completely in him. And then he's going to give us what we need. But it's going to come in the power of the resurrection.
Here we go. Pastor Cheryl, will you come close in prayer? Shanique said it very well. Stay in your new seat. Stay in your resurrection seat. It's a nice object lesson, isn't it? Because we say don't get trapped in the norm. Don't get familiar, get trapped in the familiar. But you know what? We live in it until the resurrection.
Praise God. Thank you, Shanique. Thank you, Pastor. One of the things that One of the things that really bothered me for years, I mean, the word tells us that God wants us to enjoy the fruits of our labor and of that nature. And we go on and we work and we work and we work, and then sometimes it seems like we just barely have enough to pay our bills. And but yet there's a peace knowing that it's been paid, although that's all you had enough to do. But I said that to say that, you know, and what Shanique was saying, we work for years, and we just wonder when our ship's coming in, or, you know. But then one day you're sitting at the red light, and you see this Corvette come pull up beside you, brand new, convertible. And the person that's in it, barely having a hair on their head. But yet we called it a midlife crisis. At 65 years old, they went out and bought them a new Corvette or whatever it is. In other words, after they suffered, after you suffered, after you waited, after you just did what the Lord wanted you to do, your blessing is going to come. But you wait for that resurrection.
Amen. Pastor.
Amen. And intercessory prayer this morning, the Lord gave us two songs, and that one was "My Soul is Anchored in the Lord." And he showed me how we are so anchored in the Lord, and doing the, we begin to intercede, and I begin to see the our souls anchored, and yet there was a pulling trying to get us away from being anchored. And in that moment, it almost as if it wasn't a bad thing, that the things were happening to us, I didn't understand it, to show us that we're so anchored, but yet there's things that was trying to, you know, shake us. And then it went into the, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And so we understood it as God anchoring us and letting us know that our soul is anchored in him. And in the meantime, chains are going to be broken in his name. And it was going, break every chain, break every chain. And it was okay because we were so anchored that God could go ahead and break the chain.
So the chains he's breaking is the change of the natural man and natural expectations. The chains of Jeremiah 29:11 without 10. It's a chain. God break that chain. See, like Shanique said, don't blame it on the devil. If it's the devil, he got that in your mind that all I need is 29:11. I'm trying to get you to center back on yourself, not on somebody else putting a chain on you. Your belief in something that was out that you thought was God, but it wasn't. It's a chain. Shelly, we're flipping over. It's a grave clothes chain. I mean, that's why they're praying like that. That's the culture that he's building.
And so then we saw, it started with my son, the Enochs in my life, three different generations. They were standing up, and then all of a sudden, the old man fell off. And then the resurrection man, if that's the word, was still standing. And then I saw a cloud. You couldn't count it, where the old man was just falling off, and this body was a part of that. And then the resurrection body stood. So God, I just thank you so much for you and for the Holy Spirit showing us the way, Lord God. showing us how to be obedient to you, Lord, and to share our story so that you can break the power through the story that was told. God, I thank you for the word going forth, for the seed that went forth today, Lord God. Because in that seed, there was growth, there was nurturing coming forth for the new man to break out, Lord God, from the grave clothes, God. So, God, as we reach deeper and deeper in you, as our souls are just anchored in you, in the depthness of you, God, knowing who you are, Lord God, we can rest assured that you have your hands on us. And that we can break out in you, Lord God. And that we can allow the old man to just fall off us so that the new man can come forth, God. So, God, I just ask that you bless this body of Christ right now, Lord God. Let them see for themselves what the new man is all about, Lord. Let them experience what it is to become a new man as they walk out of the grave clothes. Thank you, God. God, we're continuing looking forward and taking the step higher and higher and higher in you into that realm that we've never been before. But we're trusting in you, Lord God, to show us the way, Lord. We're hanging on for new life, God. Hanging on for the resurrection, Lord God, in our lives. And as we move from this place, God, every step we take, it will be a step into the new creation that you are developing in us, Lord God. Let your light continue to shine in us brighter and brighter and brighter, that the world will see Christ in us. As we share, as we have conversation, as we talk with them, God, let your love forever remain, Lord, in us as we give it to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.